Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would think of that. You thought about getting your own fucking house.
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This podcast's on fire with passion and love, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. The Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller, and I've got Jim Campbell here.
Hello.
And I've got Luke Moore here.
All right.
And you're here.
When's Pete back?
The listeners are the fourth man.
Yeah.
That's the question.
That's Pete, because someone pointed out fairly handily that the last anyone's heard of Pete was when he was getting a night bus back from Glasgow.
True. Although we've seen a few pictures of him dressed as Edward Scissorhands.
Since then. So, but that's all we have
but
seen.
But they could be historical, because we know he's got the costume.
And that was nothing to do with Halloween, by the way.
No. It rarely is. Yeah. We're hoping he's going to be back for Wednesday show in Brighton.
Yep.
And then obviously be back on Thursday for the show.
Right. And then Friday, Bristol.
In reality, he will be back for all those things.
He will be, yeah.
You have to deal with that for one more show.
In his version of reality.
Yeah.
Pete often dresses up as Edward Scissorhands. And didn't you ask him why was this? And he said he spent a fortune on the costume.
No, I sent him a message. He keeps sending photos around to us of him dressed as Edward Scissorhands. Mm. And I have to say, for the record...
It's good.
It's very, very good. Yeah. He's got the face shape that suits it. And it does look... It's an excellent fancy dress outfit.
A sort of half-dead look.
That's one side of it. Mm. The other side of it is he does it all the time. Probably 4 or 5 times a year.
Yeah.
And when I pulled him up on it and said, look, I've had enough of this. This is one photo of you dressed as Edward Scissorhands too many. Mm. Stop it. He replies saying, the outfit cost me 90 quid.
Makes it all seem more reasonable.
Yeah.
I think people in Japan think he is Edward Scissorhands.
They might do.
It was an autobiographical account.
Imagine him packing all that in his suitcase.
Yeah, he's an idiot, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He is. That's very accurate.
But that picture, he was also stood next to a man dressed as a urinal.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was a fine effort, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm quite glad we're talking about this, because it is Halloween week.
Yeah.
Is it a week? It's just a day.
Yeah.
But today's Halloween, so we can talk about that without it seeming too ridiculous. But with that in mind, people, who from the world of football would you like to go trick-or-treating with? Or a Scottish word, guising.
Guising, oh, okay.
Guising, and, I don't know that one.
And in Scotland, on New Year's Eve, they call it first footing, don't they, as well?
Oh, that, yeah, that's...
So when you go to knock around people's houses, it's called first footing.
That's a slightly different thing, though.
On New Year's Eve?
Yeah, no, I'm aware of the act.
Mm.
Jim?
I think Martin Skrtel would make an excellent Nosferatu.
Yeah.
Remind me who Nosferatu is, forgive me.
Dracula, basically.
Oh, sorry,
like
right.
The bald version of that that you would see
from
there.
Early 20th century film, isn't it? Yeah. Is it F.W. Murnau?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Good, Jim. Excellent. Carry on. Sorry for the
hold. I just think, I think he'd really sort of... He's a terrifying looking man, isn't he? He's very striking looking, but he's hulking and he's bald and he's got those piercing, terrifying blue eyes. And I think just with some fangs and some fake long fingers and a black robe, he'd look terrifying.
Yeah, it wouldn't take much, would it?
No, I don't think you'd need any of those things. I think
just rock up as normal and people knock on the door, someone opens. Yep, you can have whatever you want. Take my money. Just don't hurt me.
Mm-hmm. You can have all the apples in this bathtub. Did you ever go bobbing for apples? You must have done.
Yeah, back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Course, yeah. Just the look on your face, I thought, was that just a Scottish tradition?
Is that not Guy Fawkes Night, though?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe you mixed it too.
I thought that was Halloween.
Okay, who knows? Who knows?
He would also, Martin Skrtel would do, you see at the moment a lot of people dressing up as characters from Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
And Jared Leto's Joker, I think he could do very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to like about that outfit, isn't there?
A lot to like.
Donaldson would be good at that as well.
As the Joker?
Yeah.
Yeah, any sort of freakish character.
Yeah. Yeah, well, quite, yeah. Yeah,
other than himself.
It's consistent with his wardrobe, isn't he? He's already got all the stuff.
Yeah,
he just combines it just in certain Halloween-y ways.
Just dye his hair green and he's away.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Luke, what have you got?
I've stuck on the Liverpool theme, actually.
Oh, have
although
you?
I didn't know Jim was going to go for Martin Skrtel. I've gone Jordan Henderson, purely because I could just sit in the car and he can do all the door-to-door stuff at breakneck speed. Come back with all the sweets.
Oh, I see. For some reason, I thought you were going to go down the Harry and the Hendersons route.
I wouldn't have to do anything with Henderson, would I?
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it.
You go with Henderson and Milner.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
you would absolutely rake in. Yeah. You'd have not only just sweets, you'd have a bit of cash in there.
Yeah,
Milner as well. He could just get a couple of fake bolts, glue them to the side of his neck, and everyone would be going, that costume is amazing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he could just use real bolts. Why would that be fake?
Well, yeah, it's a good point. I was thinking he'd drill them into his neck, but obviously, just stick them on.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go trick-or-treating. It's dangerous for me.
Look, we're going after this.
Oh, what?
Come on, do your jumper up, we're going. Do your hoodie up, we're going out trick-or-treating.
Do your trick-or-treating doggies.
Yeah, right. Do your doggies, exactly.
I'd like to see Jim bobbing for apples.
Henderson would be excellent. I'll tell you, Henderson, if Henderson is out taking his children out trick-or-treating, if he's got children, I don't even know if he has, out trick-or-treating tonight, you can't tell me he won't be right up the garden path at first, knock on the door.
Heat pressing. For chocolate.
Knock on the door. The woman in the house.
He's right up in a grill.
Yeah, the woman in the house goes back into the house to get the chocolate. He's right behind her. Just badgering her. Clipping her ankles.
Yeah. You don't need to come to the door. I'll take it from here. I'll shut the door on the way
out. It's never a free kick. She's on the floor, bowl of chocolates everywhere.
Yeah. Fabian Delph, he wouldn't be too bad. Although he's not playing.
Injured, isn't he, at the moment?
Oh, and he also sees ghosts, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe he wouldn't be so good.
Very busy night for him.
It would be.
Well, if he does see ghosts, maybe it's absolutely ideal. He's got the experience at that level.
We can spot the real ones and the
exactly,
fake ones.
Exactly.
They're all fake. I think it's an excellent answer. I went for West Ham and Algeria winger Sofiane Feghouli.
Oh, okay. No, so you've just gone for the straight pun.
Yeah, why not?
If I had time...
It's damage limitation with me.
If I had time earlier before you turned up, I was going to say to you, I bet you, the answer to the question, Marcus just does a pun.
Yeah. And he's worked backwards.
Because he's the last one, so no one cares. No one's going to put him up on it. It happens in live shows all the time as well.
I didn't... you really have to come to Brighton on Wednesday night to see that. To have that little treat or trick. I didn't work backwards for this one. It was the Halloween one. Yeah, Jim. But yes, I have done in the past.
I don't think that's acceptable. That answer.
Why not?
Because it's just a pun.
He's just a little. He's a little ghouly, isn't he?
We got to be careful with puns after that horse one last week.
Wow, that was a fine pun.
All right.
You know as well as I do, Luke, that this section of the show is a dictatorship.
It's true.
It doesn't matter what you and I think. It's not a dictatorship. Luke's got the points.
Thank you very much.
All right.
In which case, your pun was absolutely fine. More power to your elbow.
You see, first you get the puns, then you get the power. Or the other way around. Yeah. Right, let's go to the Premier League, because Liverpool were in action. They were away to Crystal Palace.
And it was action.
What a first half.
All action.
It's always a bit of a shame, isn't it, in a football match, where you have goals galore in the first half, and then the second half you just get one or two. I know there's only one.
But I was watching the game, and I remember looking at Twitter at half-time, and I think it was 3-2 Liverpool half-time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And at the same time, I can't remember who it was, BBC Sport or whatever, posted an update of a game in the Bundesliga, which was 0-0 at half-time, and I was thinking, I know where I want to be. Just leave me here.
The best and most entertaining league in all of England. Yeah. Actually, no, it's the Championship.
But it is fantastic to watch.
It was brilliant.
There's just an absolute cavalier regard for defending.
A lot of headers.
Yeah, loads.
You wouldn't look at that scoreline and go, he had like 90 billion headers in it. But
it did.
Yeah, it did. Tons of them.
I felt sorry for, is it Mandanda, who's in goal for
Mandanda,
for Is it Mandanda?
He's French, isn't he? So
Yeah. I can't
Mandanda. Like,
yeah. Mandanda rolls off the tongue nicely. Though.
Okay, well, you can stick
with
that.
But Mandanda is fine.
You're going to get the tweets regardless. You're going to get hammered onto it, whatever you say. So just do whatever you want to
do. All right. Okay, so Nigel Martin in the Crystal Palace. Mandanda, I thought, he made some great saves, didn't he? But they just kept coming and coming. Yeah. And when that Joel Matip header just fired into the roof of the net, it was almost, he put his hands up in there, and it was almost just like, well,
come
on, guys. If you give them that many shots,
can't you deal with some of these?
I'm really trying here, guys.
Yeah. This, I tell you, that slice from Lovren for MacArthur's first header.
That was England-esque, and I say
it
England-esque.
Really was.
If you think about England, the great, Maradona's handball, and then was it Keith
Paul Parker.
Was it? Yeah, Paul Parker against Germany when the ball spoons up.
Yeah,
in
but
the
that
air.
Wasn't really a slice. He tried to close it down. It deflected off it.
But there was another one in Euro 88. I think it was against Republic of Ireland, and I think I was about to say Keith Houchin. Obviously, it wasn't Keith Houchin. It was Ray Houghton.
Yeah,
I think scored, and it was that sort of boot up in the air that sets up the header quite nicely. England have done that a few times.
Are you saying England have found their niche, found their skills?
I'm saying that he wants to get out of here.
It's a shame because it's a shame Lovren can't be eligible for England. Isn't it?
He's tailor-made.
No, but what I was going to say was Liverpool look obviously irresistible going forward because Mandanda did have a good game and they still scored four times. But I tell you, there's surely going to come a point where that sort of thing is going to cost them because it does keep happening. They do have these little wobbly moments and that you just can't outscore your opponent in every single game. It just the
but you can try Jim.
But there's reminiscent of the season on that under Rodgers
where they didn't win the league. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm supporting you, but I think I do think though, if you continue to score that many goals,
you'll be all right.
It's not going to matter. And don't forget towards the end of the season as well, something that's another parallel with that Rodgers season is they don't have any European football.
Yeah.
So
this is sort of the right way round to do it.
Exactly. You'd rather be scoring loads and conceding loads than scoring none.
Yeah.
That's the sort of insight you get on this show.
Yeah. You'd rather score loads and concede some than score none and concede some.
I can imagine that on your headstone. Yeah, that would be the quote that defines you. Your Bill Shankly moment.
It's a Keegan team talk.
I'll tell you what, I'm just asking for a chance at National League level.
Yeah,
and we'll work our way.
I'll give you that chance. Pete only wants 8 minutes.
He was offered 8 minutes.
Would you be his assistant?
7 minutes to.
You could be his assistant. After 8 minutes, you can step into the job.
No, because what would happen is you'd do loads of scouting and you'd do loads of research on the opposition and all this kind of stuff. You'd go, there you are, Pete. Look at that. Well, actually, I've decided to play 1-2-7.
Yeah, because Pete hates any sort of planning anyway.
Yeah.
He hates any sort of planning.
But I don't think he'd listen to you.
He'd be an interesting manager because it would be entirely improvised.
He'd dress up as Edward Scissorhands and he wouldn't be able to write on the blackboard, the instructions on the whiteboard, whatever it is.
That's not what happened.
Well, what about Alan Pardew piping up as well?
Well, yeah. There was a bit of controversy in this game, of course. Alan Pardew was aggrieved that Andre Mariner was allowed to referee the match, even though Mariner, I thought he got all the big calls right, and I think that was the general consensus of the pundits, certainly.
Yeah, and it was one of those games which was probably quite hard to referee. It's quite fast-paced.
I thought he did a good job, did he?
I thought he did, yeah. I thought
and apparently Mariner refereed this fixture 9 months ago, and Liverpool were awarded a controversial late penalty. And Pardew was saying after as well, I'm not sure about this. And
that's ridiculous.
Yeah. We'd literally have no referees left.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
If you've made, imagine if the rule was, if you've made a decision that was controversial and maybe perhaps even later shown to be incorrect, you weren't able to referee that fixture again. Then the admin.
Oh, yeah.
It's a nonsense.
It'd be worse than the Champions League draw.
Pardew might find himself in hot water over that, and not just because the jacuzzi has definitely got anything else. But, yeah. Because you cannot go around questioning the integrity of the referees like that, really. Because he is basically saying, like, he's almost saying he's got it in for us.
Well,
the only reason
he's getting away with it, if he does get away with it, is because they're so busy with Mourinho at the moment.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, we will talk a little bit more about referees in the Manchester United Burnley bit. Yeah. But would you jacuzzi with Pardew, Jim?
Oh, it's one of those things where you know that could go either way.
Yeah.
You could have a really great... No, you'd start off having a really great night and it'd become a really terrible, depressing night. But in life, you have to say yes to things.
You've had a fair amount of them, right?
Indeed, yeah.
You imagine him going, go and get in the jacuzzi. Oh, I haven't brought my trunks. I've got trunks.
Yeah, neither have I.
And you get there. Where were the trunks? Get in.
Yeah. Oh, dear. But Jurgen Klopp has said that he has no idea how to win the Premier League.
Good.
Yeah. I love that.
Fair enough. Yeah. He's brilliant. What I like about Klopp is that he looks like the type of man with his quotes and what he says. You know, that time a number of weeks ago when he said, oh, it's nice to see other people do well. Mm. And he says, obviously, you know, you want to do well yourself or something like that. But the kind of, you think of the Fergusons, the Mourinhos, even Guardiola in a slightly different way to the two aforementioned managers, they have that winning mentality, that ruthlessness, I think. And you wonder if Klopp has that when you isolate some of these quotes. But he clearly does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at what he did at Borussia Dortmund and look what he's doing now at Liverpool. It's early days, admittedly, but this Liverpool side actually look like they have a real chance of doing something this season.
Yeah.
Well, I think Matip looks good at the back. I think he's a good defender.
I thought it was a good signing. And he's a lovely chap. He seems like he is.
Yeah. Oh, did you? Okay, right. He seems like he is, yeah.
Mm. I think the thing with Klopp as well, because he is so he's so energetic and he's so much fun, I think people wonder if that's that betrays a sort of lack of seriousness. I don't think it does at all. He's very, very charismatic. And also, it's just, he's such a likable guy. That it's in a weird way quite an intimidating thing, isn't it? Like you're coming up against this guy that everyone thinks is absolutely brilliant, and then he's, you know, the team is sort of very much built in his image. They play in that kind of fun yet very intense way, and I think it's a really refreshing management style. I love that he's going around saying things like, "I don't know how to win the Premier League," because it's honest, isn't it? Because he hasn't done it before, so why would he know how to do it?
And if you look at Liverpool's back five, or the back five that played against Crystal Palace. You got Karius, who's quite new in goal, but it's not against the realms of possibility that he will improve and start to really settle in there. I mean, he's obviously been signed for a reason, so that he's got improvement in him. Klein's an excellent right back. Matip looks good already. If he can build up a nice partnership with Lovren, who of course is sometimes in and out of the side because of injury or whatever, then it's only really Mourinho at left back that he's got to improve on. And hasn't he been playing Milner there here and there as well? And he's been doing a nice job.
Yeah.
So it's not terrible. Yeah. I just think that the goals they concede are probably quite avoidable. Some of them are sort of set PC types. I was convinced Benteke was going to score because of that sort of threat he's got aerially and the fact that Liverpool don't seem to be that good at set pieces. But those things, you wonder whether they take a while to sort of click, those sort of things. Mm-hmm. And maybe Klopp's bombarding them with quite a lot of new ideas and new things. And clearly, the attacking side of it, they've got such talented players, they can probably be a little bit more fluid, a little bit more flexible. Mm-hmm. And the way they attack space and their dynamism up front is really, really good. But you'd expect that to be good quicker than the defence would be, because the defence is more about organisation and relationships and getting to know each other and stuff. So that might take a little bit longer. But I think they're going to improve defensively. If they do, the rest of the Premier League should watch out, because they're so good going forward.
Absolutely.
And Klopp is a far better manager than Rodgers, by
the way. Absolutely. And he's got previous with this as well. He knows how to make it work, and he knows how to actually go the distance with it, especially in a situation which he's similarly in against teams that have, you know, more resources than he does. So, it'd be interesting to see how they pan out. So can we just take a moment as well to appreciate Wilfried Zaha's cross for James McArthur's second goal? Yeah. It was just like this curved chip, just piece of wonderment. It was just brilliant. The football pervert in me was rubbing those thighs watching that.
I tell you who's excellent for a whipped cross, sort of slightly similar, is Paul Pogba.
can put a very good one in there. But we'll talk about Manchester United in a bit. But I think what's really exciting for Liverpool fans is they've got goals everywhere in that team.
Yeah.
I think on Match of the Day they looked at the goal scorers and there's a lot of players on 3 and 4 goals. I think they've scored the same amount of goals as Manchester City this season. They're the highest scorers so far in the league. And Liverpool have often had, understandably over the years, something that you've often talked about in English football, talismanic type players. Obviously Steven Gerrard leaps to mind, but other players as well in the past. This Liverpool side doesn't really have that so much, but I think that's sometimes when
that's
you
a good
look
thing,
at,
I think
it's a good thing so. Sometimes you look at a side and you think they could do with a big player, they could do with somebody in there to hang their hat on a little
inspire
bit,
inspire them a bit.
Whereas I think this Liverpool side, they've got a lot of good players, very good players.
But Stevie G's coming back in January.
Yeah,
he can upset that apple cart, no problem.
Imagine it.
So they've actually got they don't really have a difficult, I mean, don't want to disrespect the other teams in the Premier League, but they don't really have a difficult on paper Premier League game until the Merseyside derby in the middle of December, and they play Man City at home on New Year's Eve. Other than that, I mean, they should be looking at those fixtures. They should be easily top at Christmas.
Well, that would be incredibly exciting for Liverpool. Certainly, I mean, what you said, Jim, about them leaking goals, I take the point. But they have won at Chelsea this season.
Yeah,
they drew
with Arsenal.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they did concede three, though, but they still won.
That doesn't matter now.
They won 4-3.
That game's out of the way. And they played Manchester United at home. And OK, they didn't break Manchester United down, but they didn't concede as well against a side, lest we forget, has got some very good players. And I know they might not be clicking at the moment.
But that's not me saying, oh, you know, there's nothing to this title bid.
Well, we heard what you said, Jim. You've written them off already.
No, the thing is, it's rare that you do see a team with a weakness like that where it doesn't come back to bite them. So they need to fix it. Sooner rather than
later.
I don't
know. In 1999, Ferguson's United, it was always a case of let's outscore them, especially in the Champions League. I take the point. I know what you mean. It's they would certainly want to tighten up a little bit at the back, but it's exciting times for old Liverpool.
And they're great to watch as well. They're really, really likeable at the moment.
Well done them. We're going to talk more about the Premier League after this.
They're men of the world, not your regular rabble. They love a bit of that. Hashtag trouble.
Manchester United 0, Burnley 0. It is always pleasing to keep a clean sheet. And Burnley will be very happy with this. Tom Heaton saved the day.
God, didn't he? Over and over and over again.
He was excellent.
That save, I mean, Ibrahimovic's volley was superb.
Yeah.
And actually, it was really nice. When it dropped to him, he thought, oh, what's he going to do? And it was like, pow,
He couldn't have done any more.
No.
He could not have done any more.
The connection was superb. Where he put it was pretty good. And it was, as everyone's saying, it was Schmeichel-esque from old Tom.
Man United had 37 shots.
Yeah, it's a record, isn't it? I think Zlatan had 12 of those.
Some was 37. I heard it was 40-odd, and somebody told me it was 158.
No, according to the BBC website, it was 37.
Let's go with that, then.
Mm.
England's number three.
Yeah. No, it was fantastic display, wasn't it? It was genuinely very similar to Peter Schmeichel, that save. That's the way he used his whole body and more.
Looked like he really hurt himself as well doing it.
Oh, yeah. Don't blame him, though. Mm.
It's a great point.
It really
just
is.
Weather that storm.
It must be frustrating for Manchester United because, you know, on another day they would have won that game. I know that's just. I know they've not scored there, but often those kind of games, in the rut they're in, you're perhaps inclined to say, oh, you know, that's really bad, and then pick apart the performance. But yet, had they been winning and that happens, you think, well, on another day, you've got to hold your hands up there. Because you remember the game against Stoke when they drew 1-1, and it was at Lee Grant in goal, who had a fantastic afternoon. I think it was Lee Grant, his name. They've basically been outdone by a goalkeeper again.
Yeah, it must be maddening.
Two points from those two games we've mentioned, it should have been seen.
Yeah. They've only won one game in the Premier League since the end of August.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's absolutely crazy.
They beat Leicester fairly handily, didn't they? That was the game.
But
they're in a pretty poor run of form.
They can't seem to get the midfield to click. Like, if only they had, say, the Bundesliga's player of the year just knocking about at the club somewhere.
Well, Jim, you say that, but Schweinsteiger was seen in first-team training action.
Yeah, but
I don't mean Schweinsteiger, I mean Mkhitaryan.
Oh, the CEO, sorry.
Yeah, there's talk of this as well.
Should Mourinho fans... I mean, presumably there are people out there who love Mourinho. I quite like him, but I wouldn't call myself a Mourinho fan.
Yeah.
But should Mourinho fans, people who adhere to his like way of doing things and support him and all that stuff, should they be worried that he's welcomed Schweinsteiger back into the fold? The reason I say that is because it's quite unlike Mourinho.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether, to me, him welcoming Bastian Schweinsteiger back into the fold strikes me as someone who's sort of scraping around for ideas.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Going back on his formerly very firmly held sort of ideas and
but is he responding to Lukas Podolski's tweeted request from last week?
I think that's unlikely. Jim thinks maybe because he likes Podolski because he's played for Arsenal.
There's a correlation there, isn't there?
Yeah, I suppose
you can't deny it. Well, what else should Podolski ask for? You know?
Yeah.
Topless managerial performance next.
If I was Podolski, I'd ask him to sign me.
Yeah. The thing with Schweinsteiger as well is you can't, as you started to say, Luke, you can't look at this and compare it to the situations he's had with players like Eden Hazard in the past, where he's just sort of he's dropped them to make a point to them and say, you know, you've got to improve your game in this sense and play in the way that I want it. He just can't claim that with Schweinsteiger, is he? Because he got there and straight away was like, no, not interested in you, get yourself a move. It was all very public and all very.
But that's the way he does things, though, isn't
it? Mkhitaryan, as you said earlier, Jim, at the start, it must be quite disappointing for him. But then you don't know what's going on. Maybe
I think there's been quite a few sort of personal problems as far as Mkhitaryan's involved.
Right, I think
as far as he's concerned, because I mean he's not featured at all, and lots of people have remarked about that type of thing. We don't know the facts, obviously, so we can't ruminate on them too much. But that's what's been talked about.
Let's hope that it's all that he's okay, and then that we'll see him soon. Because I mean, from what I've seen of him, you know, it should be a fantastic addition to the league. I wonder if Schweinsteiger's back in the fold because he's apologised to Pep Guardiola.
Yeah,
like Mourinho
probably
said
right.
to him, yeah. Phone up Pep Guardiola and apologise to him. What for? Why? Honestly, it'll wind him up so much. Just do it and you're straight back in the team.
I like the idea of like League Two players doing that, out in the cold. All right, boss, can I have a quick word? Yeah, I rang up Pep Guardiola. How'd you even get his number?
Yeah.
And I've apologised, so can I please play now?
Mourinho, of course, was sent to the stands.
Yeah. He was.
And then he sit down and then he was told to move further back?
Yeah. Because he just popped himself in a chair about 3 feet behind where he was sitting anyway.
I love that. Do you remember when Wenger got sent to the stands and he stood in front of
That was against Man United, wasn't it?
It was at Old Trafford. That was brilliant.
Did you think Ander Herrera was quite unlucky to be sent off?
Yeah, because he did slip there, didn't he?
Yeah, so I thought it was unfortunate.
I can understand why the referee give it, if the referee sort of sees that out of the corner of his eye or something. Mm. Clearly, I think Clattenburg thought that he'd gone in and been a bit clumsy and had taken the man. I mean, yeah. I don't think Clattenburg...
I don't like the idea of a referee giving a sending off because he saw something at the corner of his eye.
Well, yeah. All right.
Use all of your eye.
You've both eyes.
Yeah.
But a corner of Clattenburg's eye is as good as 20/20 vision in a normal man's eye. It's like a surveillance camera.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But at the same time, I think Herrera was unlucky as well in that his first challenge wasn't great and the second one, out of pure bad luck, just looked really similar to it.
Yeah, but you could easily see him slipping. I didn't think that was a yellow card personally.
Well,
but I mean, Herrera, to be fair to him, he got sent off quite a lot in Spain, didn't he?
Did he?
I believe so. Yeah, I don't think he's been sent off an awful lot of times in England yet. But he was sent off a fair amount in Spain. So
he does have the face of a child.
Maybe
he
is that type of player.
Yeah. But he's got the face of a child, so you don't expect it from him.
Well, you expect
it,
so he gets more leniency.
Yeah, well, you just think he'd be a bit more innocent.
Yeah, I suppose.
Mm. Well, I think Graham Pohl certainly had an opinion on Mark Clattenburg and
Graham Pohl's got an opinion on everything.
Well, his column called Opinion Pohl.
It should be, yeah.
Pohl wrote an article which was headlined with Mark Clattenburg gives nothing to a side once their fans turn against him and Manchester United paid the price against Burnley. That's the headline.
Mm.
Yeah, well, that was the title.
I spent a decent amount of time with Howard Webb a couple of weeks ago, as I said to you guys before, for the monthly special that's coming out next month. And he had a few things to say about Graham Pohl.
Did he? Yeah, what about Clattenburg? Then?
Needless to say, Graham Pohl isn't that popular.
No, I get that impression.
Among other referees. And I get the impression there's a bit of a camaraderie among them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't think Pohl is part of that.
No, I would take your word for it, or Howard's word for it, certainly. But Clattenburg clearly is a very good referee. He refereed the Champions League final, did a good job there. I mean, it's an interesting once their fans turn against him, he gives nothing to the side. I mean, Pohl said in his article that he highlighted the Darmian penalty appeal, of course, and the Herrera sending off. Well, I think the Herrera sending off.
I'm not absolutely outraged by that. I mean, I just thought it was quite harsh. I'm not just going, that's a disgraceful decision.
Sure. Okay. So he highlighted those two things, and a Mourinho being sent to the stands. Well, if Mourinho's hassling the referee in the tunnel, which apparently he was, and one thing and another, then he's subject to being sent to the stands. Well,
and Graham Pohl can have no knowledge of what happened there,
right? Right. Exactly.
He wouldn't have been there.
And the Darmian penalty appeal. Pol did admit a few sentences after saying these things that the contact on Darmin was fractional, and even wrote, well, to be fair to Clattenburg. So right. He's really highlighting the Herrera thing. So he's saying that Clattenburg has got it in for Manchester United, but has very little to back that up with, if anything at all. That, I think that's quite bad. And then Gary Neville weighed in on Twitter saying...
He'll bite, won't he? Any dig at Man United, he can't resist the bait.
No. He said, Pol once said... in a Manchester United players briefing at the start of the season that he held grudges with players from previous matches.
Well, of course. But that's Gary Neville, isn't it? Going, I've got something on this.
Yeah.
Well, not even this.
Well, he's basically saying, oh, Pol, you're talking nonsense or whatever, you know.
But basically, Howard Webb told me that when Graham Pol accidentally showed those three yellow cards. Do you remember that?
Yeah. That was in the World Cup.
Was it Josip Simunic?
It was Croatia v Australia, I think.
It wasn't 98. It was way after that. It was 2006, wasn't it?
Sorry, yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But the point is, I was going to say, is that Howard Webb told me that a referee texted him. He wouldn't tell me which referee.
Of course not.
Saying, there is a God. Pol's career's over, there is a God.
Excellent.
So I don't know if Pol's held in such high esteem.
Clearly not. What about Arsenal, eh?
Yeah, that was fun.
Put Sunderland to the sword. 2 points in 10 games for Sunderland. They have... made the worst start in Premier League history.
Sorry, go on, Kevin.
I was just saying, Pippin, Manchester City in the mid-90s on goal difference.
How times change.
Yeah.
I did a bit of research into Sunderland, and I found out that...
Oh, you've got to look at the table, mate.
Jim, I've drilled down. They don't have one player in the top 60 in the league for tackles per game. This is Sunderland, by the way. So it's not as though Sunderland have got all the ball, so they don't do any tackling. So bear that in mind. I'm talking about Sunderland. They have one player in the top 35 players for interceptions. One.
Mm.
They've got two in the top 60 for aerial duels won, right? And one in the top 30 for blocks.
Jesus, do your basics.
At the end, and this is even more damning, I think. At the end of September, which is the most recent date I could find stats on, so 2 months of the season, basically, they're bottom for cumulative distance travelled. So they're essentially, based on all those stats, they're the least hard-working team in the Premier League.
Yeah, well, it shows. I mean, you could see on Saturday they were just comfortable with Arsenal having the ball, it would seem. They really weren't putting any pressure on them at all. And Arsenal are a possession-based team. You have to get into them if you want anything out of the game.
And the great example of that, using that game, is the fact that Alexis Sanchez scored a header against Kone, who's about 2 foot tall, than him.
Absolutely mad.
And if it makes any sense.
If you're down your luck and you're at the bottom of the table, you've got to win things like headers. You have to go, right, what can we do to affect the game? Right, we can work a lot harder. The Sean Dyche Burnley effect, basically. Mm-hmm. We can make sure no one works harder than us.
Yep.
So if they beat us, they've got to beat us.
And Moyes knows how to organise a side to do that.
We can win headers because we've got a big, strong team compared to a team like... I know Arsenal are stronger and bigger than they used to be.
But Olivier Giroud scored with his first two touches. Two goals, two touches. Incredible, isn't it? But that's it. You know, Arsenal mix it up slightly with a different option. They've just got nothing for it and don't seem to want to try to have that. And Marcus, going back to what you just said about David Moyes being a guy who knows how to set up a team, that's absolutely true. But I wonder if... he was never really a firefighter, was he, at Everton? Because he was at Everton a long time and they had success and they had a few seasons where it was difficult, but he knew that squad very well and he knew how to get the best out of them. He's not the kind of manager you'd bring in to sort of really dig in and get into a relegation scrap. And I wonder, we were saying about it last week, like if they're going to get Big Sam back, if these rumours are happening, it's probably better to do it sooner rather than later. And it's sad to see Moyes go onto this sort of managerial merry-go-round, because I think we all thought he had potential to be really sort of
options are, one, what you just said, the Big Sam thing, or just let them get relegated with Moyes and let him build them again from in the Championship.
Because
he started off managing Preston in the second tier and did well there, because he was there for a while.
I wonder, though, obviously he was fantastic at Everton and he achieved so much there, but after Man United, after Sociedad, these failures are going to stack up and they're going to hurt you, are they? It could just be that he's not the manager that he was, because it would be difficult. That would really rock you, that much, you know, that much change.
Yeah, well, I was being inclined to agree with that, Jim. I think that sometimes we think about managers not getting older, not in a literal sense, as in, you know, you think about a footballer.
The game passing them by type.
Yeah, you think of people at their peak, don't you?
Yeah, you think of a manager, he should be able to be the same manager that he was from the age of, I don't know, 40 to 65 or whatever.
With a completely different set of players, with a completely different set of circumstances in terms of the teams that he's playing against. It doesn't work like that.
I think you've got to have, as a manager, as you get older, you've got to have two things. You've got to make sure you use your experiences and your disappointments and your successes and use them to draw on to make you a better manager. But at the same time, you've got to stay on top of like trends and modern things that come through, because it's very easy to imagine if you're someone who's 60 years old and you pay no interest into popular culture and the things that are happening to young people now, you're not going to be able to build those bonds with the players. Mm. And I think when it comes down to it, success in management essentially comes down to relationships between individuals, between your relationship with the players. Will they do what you need them to do? And of course, certain players are just going to be like, go there and perform. But if you're talking about defensive players and players that you have as your generals on the pitch to sort of enact your tactical sort of master plan, if you've got no common ground with those players and no way of getting your ideas across, you're not going to get anywhere. Yeah. And you wonder whether that's what's happened to Moyes over the last number of years, because of the confidence is taken such a knock from Man United, and then when he went over to Spain, and you wonder if he can get it back. But I think if they don't go for Big Sam, who will probably get them out of trouble because that's what he's good at, they need to just let them be relegated with Moyes and let him have a chance to build the team in the Championship and go back up. Because, I mean, I know it's a different kettle of fish slightly, but look what's happening with Newcastle.
Yeah. Very true. Those stats are scandalous, though. Yeah. Sorry to cut
you. They are.
They very much are. And I think, like you said about Moyes, I think, you know, was he at Everton so long that to then go to other places and have that negative impact, can he get back to perhaps where he was? What about this, Jim? US presidential candidate Hillary Clinton was seen in an Arsenal pub in Miami.
Really?
Yeah.
That is
Florida's a key state. I think she's doing a lot of groundwork.
Yeah,
Arsenal fans are key audience.
Apparently, a key
demographic.
Would you be happy that to see Hillary waving an Arsenal scarf, or would you prefer Donald?
It's better than alternative.
Well, I don't know. Trump lines up with my personal politics a lot more.
You've been trying to get a mention of a Trump in this show for weeks, haven't you? We'll let you have that one.
We shouldn't have laughed them out. No. We shouldn't have laughed because people might have believed him.
No, well, I do believe him.
It's not true, everybody. What about Middlesbrough beating Bournemouth? They've got to win. Middlesbrough, we said, needed to win that one.
Ramirez scored a lovely goal.
Oh, Gaston Ramirez. People were jumping out of the stands onto the pitch after that one. It was one of those goals where people thought, this is wonderful. We've got to get closer to football.
He's such a strange player, Ramirez, isn't he? So mercurial. Just he'll have like one genuinely world-class moment in him about every 6 months. It's really odd.
He's played at the World Cup and all sorts, hasn't he?
He's a good player. He's very talented.
He's a very talented player, but he doesn't make the best of it.
Did he go on loan to Middlesbrough in the Championship last season? And he signed for them permanently, didn't he?
I think from Southampton.
That's right, yeah.
It was a superb goal. And if Ramirez, if they can... If Middlesbrough can get themselves in a situation where they're not backs against the wall all the time, Ramirez is the type of player that actually could play a bit of football.
He's
very talented. And so Stuart Downing, the evergreen Stuart Downing.
I don't think many Middlesbrough fans would agree with that.
Really?
No.
Was it his first goal in a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, to be fair, it's a sample size of one. I've got a friend who's a Middlesbrough fan and he doesn't like Downing.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Given so much to the club.
But when he was in his last season at West Ham, which obviously was a few years ago now, he was fantastic. He had a bit of renaissance, didn't he? But, you know, time is against him.
He got back in the England squad, didn't he? Very much so. He's played as a number 10 at times,
I think. But you do wonder, in a player like Gaston Ramirez, is he going to flourish in the situation he's in?
Well, it's the same as we were saying about Negredo on the previous show, isn't it? Like, Middlesbrough play a lot of games where the forward players are effectively defenders.
They're going to have to work really, really hard.
Yeah, and that's not the way to get the best out of either of those guys.
True. But we talked about Ben Gibson, I think, on the preview show, and Gareth Southgate was casting his England eye over some of the players at the Riverside.
Looking harrowed.
Yes, exactly.
And almost like he doesn't want to do it at all.
Yeah, well, some are suggesting Ben Gibson could get a call up to England because Southgate likes him, worked with him under 21s. He's having a very good season, so
the other thing about that is it's not as though really England have got anything to lose, is it? No. I mean, if Southgate feels comfortable going with players who he's worked with in the under-21s and they've done well, and he knows that they can perform in a way that he wants them to perform, sort of carry out instructions, all that type of stuff, then, you know, why not? I mean, it's not as though, you know, not breaking up a golden generation, are we, by doing it? Who's going to play ahead of him? You know, no one.
Very true.
Literally no one.
Indeed. Manchester City beat West Brom away. They've got a win.
Yeah.
They've finally got a win. Aguero and Gundogan with the goals. Pep pissed on Pulis's parade.
He did.
After Pep said last week that Yaya Toure's agent still needs to apologise to him, the agent responded, Dmitry Seluk. He went on about how Guardiola planned to humiliate Man City's most important players of the last 6 years, Toure, Hart and Nasri. Not David Silva.
Hang on a minute. Right. Manchester City's most important players of the last 6 years. Toure, okay, you sort of see that.
Joe Hart.
Joe Hart, fine. Sammy Nasri.
That means he's been good.
I'm not having that.
Yeah, but like, I like how he's not putting David Silva, Vincent Kompany, Zabaleta, Aguero himself. Yeah, right, exactly. Selleck said, if anyone deserves an apology, it's Yaya, Sheikh Mansour and City's fans from Pep Guardiola.
What's he going to apologise for to the owner of the club?
Yeah. It's terrible, though, isn't it?
Because I know I've only been here 3 months and we're top of the league, but I'm very sorry.
Can you come back and not run around a bit?
Yeah.
I love it. Selleck claimed that he'd been trying to... I think that's how you pronounce it, Selleck. Claimed that he'd been trying to get hold of Guardiola to sort it out, but was ignored. No, he hasn't.
It's such a stupid situation.
Trying to get hold of him by carrier pigeon or something.
Yeah. I mean, is Toure just happy to sit there hoovering up the cash? He can't be so stupid that he thinks he's going to like win this battle. He's at a stage in his career where he doesn't have a lot of football left, and the longer this goes on, the more he harms. The more he harms himself in terms of having a bit more time to play the game that's made his life what it is. It's so petty. And we've seen that he can be a very arrogant man as well. Like the African Player of the Year thing with Aubameyang is a great example of that. But I'm just astounded.
But in my rudimentary understanding of PR, it would just be a case of. Either Yaya Toure or the agent or between them will just be trying to get Yaya Toure's name into the press as much as possible between now and January so no one forgets about it.
Yeah, maybe.
And so
maybe.
He can get a move probably to somewhere, I don't know, like PSG or something in January.
Very true.
Or China or even MLS, I guess.
Better news coming out of Manchester City is that their ladies team just won the Women's Super League, going the whole season unbeaten.
Oh, invincible.
16 games, 13 wins, 3 draws. Marvellous.
Good
Very
for them.
Good.
I'm not going to pretend I know anything about women's football. I'm not going to patronise them saying I do.
But you know about stats, a good one.
It's a good return.
It's a very good return. Man City, of course, playing Barcelona this week. Barcelona staying at the same hotel that Jose Mourinho is living in.
That's hilarious.
Oh,
don't worry, Jose, we're only here for a short
time. That'll be so good.
Knock on his door,
run away. Knock on his door, naked, please.
Marvellous, yeah.
That's a story for another time.
That's right, yeah. Student days.
Yeah.
Right, let's go to the championship after this.
Watch yourself, it's the Ramble Boys, chucking out the bants, making all the noise. Keep your peepers peeled and watch those grubby mitts, because they're coming for you and your big shop tips.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Don't forget the Football Ramble preview is sponsored by Bet365, out this Friday.
And don't forget we're in Brighton live this Wednesday. There's still a few tickets left, so come along to the Old Market Theatre at 7:30. this Wednesday, so the 2nd of November. We'd love to see you there. Yeah. And we're doing other live shows as well that following weekend and the following weekend. So check out thefootballramble.com
Friday night at Bristol is sold out. Those beautiful Bristolians have come out.
Voted with their feet.
Indeed.
Yeah. Wallets.
Yes. But if you're in Bristol and you're gutted, Sunday night we're in Cardiff.
Just up the road.
It's just up the road. Let's go to the Championship. There was the Steve Bruce Derby, otherwise known as the Birmingham Derby. Birmingham City versus Aston Villa ended 1-1.
Mm, it's a raucous affair, that. You forget what a passionate derby that is, because it's been a while since we've seen one.
Yeah.
Do you remember when...
Well, Steve Bruce Derby is always keenly contested, Jim.
Do you remember... one of my memories, and I don't have a huge amount of expertise on the second City Derby, but one of my memories of it was in the Premier League a while back, and a goalkeeper for Aston Villa, I forget
Oakes.
Who it was. Was it Oakes made an error, so. And a Birmingham City fan commanded the wanker sign on his face?
Yeah, something like that. Or did he sort of give him a slap, a little gentle...
A bit of both. Bit of both.
All of it.
Yeah. And the good thing about that is most sort of respected media outlets will say we don't have to see that in the game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stick it out there and say that was one of my favourite second City Derby moments ever.
It. You don't like people running on the pitch, though?
Yeah. No.
Okay, fair enough.
No, but this happened. You can't do anything about it.
Look, we're all agreed, don't
you
worry.
You've got to observe it. You know? Yeah, but what I wanted to say was that header by Gary Gardner was a beauty. Mm. I've interviewed him before. He's a lovely chap.
Yeah.
Just trying to outdo you on the... Who did you interview earlier you were talking about?
Liverpool defender.
Yeah.
Joel Matip.
Yeah, it's better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Brucey stated his desire to be England manager one day, saying that any Englishman would want the job. Everyone apart from Gareth Southgate, presumably. Use him as a warning. Bruce, look at the guy in the chair.
Steve Bruce, I think I can find many English people who don't want the job.
Yeah, I don't want it.
Yeah.
You would, Jim, don't you?
God, it would ruin my life. I'd be terrible at it.
Yeah, but think of the payoff.
Well...
You're going to get a few million quid. Listen, take the job, take a training session, you'll get the piss taken out of you or whatever, because that's what footballers are like. Go straight to Wings, do a deal, get your payoff. You can be.
Make sure your contract's so watertight that for some reason you still get the payoff.
You can be in the Bahamas two days hence.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
It'll all seem like some horrible fever dream.
Yeah, you won't care.
Yeah. You'd be a great motivational speaker, Luke. Take the job, mess it up, do a dodgy deal, and then walk away with a few quid.
The thing was, when Jim just said that, I'll make sure the contract's watertight, I was a bit,
Your contract law. From my point of view.
Yeah,
that's the sticking point.
Yeah, it would be. Your contract law isn't the best, Jim. That's what I'm saying. You have to get an advisor.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't worry,
do you
Jim.
Want to do it?
I'm the worst person to be choosing to do it.
There was two big 5-0s in the Championship. Brighton beat Norwich 5-0. The
Didn't
Chris
they?
Hughton derby.
God, that was they were fantastic. I tell you, Glenn Murray's such a good player to have at that level.
Oh, we love Brighton, don't we? We love Brighton.
Did you see the goalkeeper for Norwich is the Northern Irish goalkeeper? And he made an absolute howler for
the first
goal.
Well, he made two,
Yeah. Is it Michael McGovern? Is that his name? But I'm delighted they won, because I was asked to write a column about Brighton and how well they're doing for the Mid-Sussex Times this week, and I thought, right, that's the kiss of death on them.
Yeah.
Luckily they won 5-0.
I'm glad that they won, because we're going there on Wednesday.
That's true, yeah.
Norwich's defending was absolutely abysmal in this game. Alex Neil must be just absolutely furious with them, because it was clownish at times.
Brighton are a good team, but the thing is, that's Norwich are pushing as well. I mean, it's probably Newcastle, Brighton and Norwich were pushing for those two top places. That's a huge blow for them.
For a big part of last season, Brighton's problem was that they weren't scoring goals, but they really clicked this season. It'd be great to see
Glenn Murray
have a proper sort of title push. Indeed.
Glenn Murray, goal specialist.
Indeed. Is that his job title?
It really should be. He loves it, doesn't he? A hat-trick, for crying out loud. Brighton are 3 points off Newcastle at the top. So they are going for that promotion. Norwich, they're in fourth still, which was such a surprising result, really. But then speaking of the playoff spots, Fulham beat Huddersfield 5-0. Fulham have not had a brilliant time this season. But what happened to the field?
It's the Championship all over that.
It really is,
it's very difficult to predict what's going to happen.
Huddersfield's still 3 points off second, Reading in fifth, and Bristol City have climbed to sixth, which again is something that we all really like to see, them being successful, and Bristol Rovers too.
And Cardiff.
I thought I'd save Cardiff for the Thursday one.
And
well,
listen,
we're going to London on the 12th of November, so it's good to see Fulham getting a win.
Yeah,
but
so that's West London.
I tell you,
and they're not going to kick off Fulham fans.
I tell you, was good in that game. Sonny Aluko was excellent in that game, and Chris Martin was good as well. Mm. I didn't even know Chris Martin's at Fulham on loan from Derby.
That's right. Yeah.
That passed me by.
Yeah,
that
same.
Transfer.
McLaren apparently, when he went back to Derby, wanted Chris Martin. He wanted to see if he could call him back on off loan, if you like. But he knew can do that.
But yeah, talking of Huddersfield, though, I mean, you know that they're right up there and they're getting a lot of plaudits. They've lost I think they lost 5 of their last 10. I mean, it's sort of feast or famine with Huddersfield. They've only drawn one game this season, so you do get sort of one thing or the other with them.
I mean, they are in third, though, 3 points
off
second.
I do understand Fulham are a mid-table side, aren't they, really, this
season? At the moment.
They look like it. So,
Well, Yurkanovic, I mean, if he you know, he got Watford up. If he can get Fulham going.
Well, this is it, isn't it? If they can capitalise on this, start going on a run, build some confidence. There's so many games in the Championship, but this you have the time to build that.
This is the thing with the Championship, that some clubs... Actually, Fulham started, I think, OK. And some clubs, they can start well and then they drop off, and other clubs win their first six games and then lose or don't get a win in the next seven. But because they've got enough points in the bank, it's not like the Premier League where the big clubs generally then sort of take over. You've got a little bit of to-ing and fro-ing. Yeah.
Well, it's like you mentioned Brighton a second ago and how they had problems scoring goals at some point. I remember the start of last season, they didn't lose a game for about 3 months, did they? I think they were the last unbeaten team in England.
Yeah.
And they still didn't get promoted.
Yeah, because they had that period where the goals dried up.
Well, the playoffs is such an interesting thing because it's third to sixth, you know, in the Premier League, obviously, if you're looking at, say, Champions League, you know, it's the top four.
Yeah. Mm.
You can't, you know, the first one wins the league. In the Championship, you have that sort of slightly odd situation where you finish sixth and you can get promoted. And I remember Danny Baker once saying, the playoffs, he hated it. And he went, you know, you've been hanging around in the top three all season. You finish a very respectable third. And he said, well, you know what's happened, though? You don't get to go up. That team who won their last three games, they get to go up instead of you. Yeah. That's what it's like.
It's true. It's
the best part. It's a brilliant part of the season, though.
Yes. We're very lucky that the Championship is, you know, is such a great league because it really is entertaining. And if the Premier League hadn't got such riches, you know, and those leagues were a little bit more together, that it would get a lot more press.
Last season, it was the 10th most well-attended league in the world across any sport.
Wow, that's a fantastic fact.
That really is.
Good.
Blimey O'Reilly.
You didn't just make that one up, did you?
No,
that's a good fact.
And it was... No, I'm not going to make up a fact. in La Liga, let's go to Spain. The big three, they all won. Cristiano Ronaldo finally got his first hat-trick of the season.
Why are you putting this in?
10 games in.
The big three all won.
Yeah.
Fine. Cristiano finally got his first hat-trick of the season.
I was taking the mick a bit.
Yeah, good.
Finally, after 10 games.
Yeah.
Wake up, Cristiano.
What's he
missed
been
a penalty,
doing?
Didn't he? One of them was a penalty as well, so...
He did miss a penalty.
I'd rather do some more Championship chat.
Oh,
I'd rather talk about the way Newcastle
are
playing
at the moment. No, I don't like Spain anymore.
No,
what's wrong with Spain?
I just think when so
we're still in Europe, mate.
If Barcelona
is this what it is?
If Barcelona,
do you want us to do a hard Brexit?
Yeah, I'll do a hard Brexit on this show. And if you start talking about Serie A in a minute, I'm going to lose my shit.
Hey, come on! Oh, someone's been looking at the running order, haven't they?
First time for everything.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but the reason why we're talking about Cristiano Ronaldo is he did miss a penalty, but he did score one penalty. And before he took the one he scored, some of their Alavés fans were flashing their bottoms and willies at him.
That's the stuff I want. You haven't put that in.
Let me get there.
It'll come. Morata scored a great lob as well.
Yeah, I know your tastes. Unfortunately, it would appear it's the taste of a lot of other people out there.
If you had put in the Liga thing, the big three or one, Cristiano Ronaldo, blah, 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 there were some bums and willies, I'm not going to bring it up. I'm just going to go, fine, let's crack on with it.
Yeah, right. One fella, he got his old boy out and waved it around a bit.
Bremain.
I hope he did sort of like the Ronaldo celebration thing, but rather than pointing to his back, to his chap.
Oh, yeah.
To his Tadger.
Tadger? Yeah.
To his penis.
Yeah, there we are. Any more on that? No?
I'm trying to think of how I can weave it into Kevin Keegan. Kevin Keegan must have had a couple of Tadger-related mishaps in the past.
Tadger's a Scottish one, isn't it?
I don't know. I think it's definitely an approved word. For the appendage.
Todger's more of an English one, I think.
Todger or Tadger. Yeah, I think you can use both, yeah. Wasn't that a kids' TV show?
Bodger and Badger. Todger and Tadger. That's like a late-night Channel 4 version.
Yeah.
Like animated cartoon by Pete. he'd only scored twice in 9 matches prior to that one, old Ronaldo. So he was due a hat-trick.
Trevor Benjamin-esque.
Should you really have to look at bottoms and willies before taking a penalty?
Well, in an ideal world, I'd imagine no, but you know, you don't control reality, do you?
Well, you say in an ideal world, in Luke's ideal world, that sentence
I think Luke would like to look at them. I think he'd like to see others have to look at them.
Either or, I don't mind. I was just thinking about Euro 2012 when that England fan got his old chap out to try and put off Andrea Pirlo, didn't he? Didn't work, did it?
Yes, it failed.
You started off with what you thought was a genius idea, no doubt. Drink had been taken,
right.
And then at the end, when the ball's bustling in the back of the net, you're just a man standing there with his cock out.
Indeed. Yeah. There we are.
In many ways, a metaphor for England's performance.
Limp performance. Yeah. Flaccid performance. Yeah. Shall we move on to Serie A? Yeah, okay.
If that's all right with you, Luke.
Yeah, why not? I just remember I've got nothing else to do.
Rubbing your mustard trousers with fury.
Yeah. I just want to sit down, have a nice quiet pint of bitter.
British bitter.
Yeah, some pork scratchings.
Drive around in your Range Rover for a bit. Juventus beat Napoli 2-1. Obviously, Gonzalo Higuain got the winner.
Yeah.
You should have just thrown the game, Napoli. You don't just have a 1-0 win.
They got 75 million euros out of it, it was.
Wasn't the Napoli manager like a bit annoyed about this, obviously?
Sarri likened Higuain to a son who'd made him angry, but then he said he'd always love him. And he said Higuain had only done good things for him. And if Higuain won something, he'd be happy for him, but less so for Juventus.
That's fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Higuain didn't celebrate as well. It was a belter of a goal as well, just rifled it.
Did El Diego have something to say about it?
He did, yes, obviously. but we should say Bonucci's goal was an absolute peach as well. What a finish.
Is there talk of...
It was like he was trying to clear it.
And burst it.
Yeah.
Isn't there talk of Guardiola wanting to take Bonucci to Man City?
I think
there was
any
talk
manager
of him going
to
Chelsea as well, yeah.
I mean, was there? Okay.
Fantastic, isn't it?
Okay.
Would you like one of the best centre-backs in the world at
your
club?
Yes, I will, thank you very much.
I think I would. Yeah. We'll get a load of that.
Yeah.
Diego Maradona, yeah, he had his say. Starts off by saying, I'm not a traitor. Yes, well
here
done,
we go.
Diego.
Here we go.
What's this about?
You should
What's this really about?
I'm not a racist. Right, OK, well, we'll assume that until you prove otherwise. And then he says he doesn't care about Higuain's move to Juventus and what he did because he'll never betray Napoli. Mm. And he never betrayed Napoli either. And Maradona never betrayed Napoli. I don't care what Higuain did because, you know, I'll never betray you.
Betrayed the tax authority, didn't he?
Well, yeah, not just Napoli, the whole nation.
Yeah.
There we are. Yeah. He's had his say. He's made it onto the show. Well done. Let's have some highlights of the week.
Highlights of the week. Okay, first up is Jason Canham. He says, my highlight for as a Villa fan was the Blues fan at the Derby proudly showing their Worthington Cup finalist 2001 scarf.
That's great.
Liverpool-esque clinging to the past, says Jason.
Well, he could have had...
you might say that, Jason. I couldn't possibly comment.
But he could have had the win against Arsenal. The Birmingham
fan. Yeah. I suppose
so. Because
they
beat Arsenal in the League Cup, didn't they?
In Liverpool, in 2001, they lost to Liverpool, I think.
It was
in
on
the
penalties.
Final. Yeah. Anyway, I can laugh at that because I laughed at Villa and the goalkeeper getting the wankers on earlier, so it's balanced itself out.
Good.
Yeah. Here's one from Aaron McAleese. He says, my heart of the week is to finally be able to out Marcus Speller as a Rangers fan.
Who said this?
Well, listen, I'm just going to present the case and you can answer it.
All right, go on.
He says, from the episode... I mean, to be fair to him, the only reason this is going is because the level of research this man has done is to be respected.
Yeah.
He says, from the episode, oh, yes, indeed, it's fun time.
God, he's going back All right, fair play. Let's hear him out.
Marcus says his first football heartache is the fact Rangers never made the European Cup final the year Marseille bribed CSKA Moscow.
Right, OK.
He has a love for Walter and Archie, who are Rangers legends. We all got a love for Walter and Archie. I'm not accepting that as evidence.
Yeah.
He says he loves Ali McCoy and Marco Negri. Well, Ali, super Ali.
Again, for people that grew up in Scotland, though, they're big names.
Yeah. The reason Marco Negri is because I used to have similar hair to him when I was growing up, and people, because I was so prolific in front of goal, people would often nickname me that. Believe that if you want. I know that's incredibly self-indulgent, but that is the truth.
Well, I don't believe it.
Well, it was the second half of the season, Marco Negri, not the first half.
Yeah, right. on the episode, is that when he got hit in the eye with a squash ball?
He scored, I think, 31 goals in the first half of the season.
And then got hit with a squash ball in the eye.
By I think, Lorenzo Amoruso, his teammate. I think that's what it was.
Wow.
And then only scored sort of 5 goals the rest of
the season. Anyway, before the prosecution can rest, there's more evidence. On the episode It's Your Letters, which I think is an episode just you and Pete, Jim and I went on this, the one you guys did together, Pete described you as a little bit pro-Rangers.
Right.
But I mean, that's just Pete saying stuff. You know what I mean? Anyone could say that about anyone.
Pete was wearing Rangers colours on stage in Glasgow.
He was. And Celtic colours.
Last but by no means least, apparently you didn't claim to be a fan of the magnificent Gorgie Boys until the 2010-11 season when Hearts pushed Celtic and Rangers to the title. And he finishes off by saying, Aaron says, being a Celtic fan, you're trained to spot them. let me finish.
Yeah.
So will he just put us out of our misery that he's not a Hearts fan but instead a Ranger? I love this man. This means so much to Aaron.
Well, Aaron, let me...
He says, a boy that grew up in Edinburgh and didn't want to admit that he was a glory hunter. That's a dig. I love you, Marcus, but you have to be outed.
he's done very well there as old Larry. And just to give you more sway to your argument, I knew you were a Celtic fan, big boy.
Yeah, straight away.
Well, I the thing is with me, and this is slightly boring, but I've got a right to reply.
Yeah.
When I grew up in Edinburgh, a very good friend of mine and his dad used to lead the school team.
Yeah.
And they were basically the guys who almost like got me into football, and they were big Rangers fans.
Is this the guy who wouldn't let you use the football apart from for the photo?
Oh, well, good memory. Yeah, he was actually a big Hearts fan, actually. Okay. So there was a Hearts fan and a Rangers fan who run the team.
Okay.
The Hearts fan, he was the janitor.
Okay.
And as I say, it was just my mate's dad, who I think used to play for Rangers, only got to reserve level. I know how that feels, mate, Leatherhead reserves. But he played for a number of teams, I think maybe Stirling Albion, a few others. And so they were kind of like my way into football, and they were Rangers fans. And so I suppose I'd always grown up with talking a lot of football to them, and so from a very, very young age. But you know, I was from Edinburgh, so that's why there's the Hearts link there. But in subsequent years, yes, very much so Hearts. But when it comes to Rangers or Celtic, which is often a question asked, then I suppose because of my mates, I would tend to support Rangers. But I'm not dying. I don't really. I've enjoyed watching Celtic in Europe. I remember supporting Celtic in a Celtic versus Celtic with bibs and a Celtic without bibs. You know, no, but I'm waffling on here.
No further questions, Your Honour.
Yeah. That's just a little bit of history.
Let me move on to Carl McDonald. This is my team, Scunthorpe.
Yeah, hammering, I hate them.
Hammering yet another League One opponent, 4-1 against Swindon, is my heart of the week. This is the sixth time we've scored three or more in a league game this season, and the fourth time we've scored four or more, and we're the top scorers in the country. We're also unbeaten at home in close to a year, and our goal difference is already 11 better than our nearest rivals.
There we are.
You've got to hand it to Scunthorpe.
You do.
Cheers for that, Carl. And Daniel Greenfield. We'll end with Daniel. Hello to you, Daniel. I heard Steve Bruce interviewed ahead of the Midlands derby, and he was asked about the stick he was due to get, and he said something like, yeah, well, I've always taken a bit of stick from opposition fans. At Man City, I'm known as the Elephant Man.
Oh, dear.
I take it as a bit of a compliment. He says, you cannot knock the man's positivity. Steve Bruce just happened to be back in the game.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Can I have a highlight?
Yeah.
It was Rangers. No, it was... it was Balotelli still scoring for Nice. They're top by 6 points.
They're doing really well.
Smashing it.
Come on.
And Balotelli was fantastic in that game as well. He seemed to have a hand in absolutely everything. What I'd absolutely love is Balotelli to have a great season. Win the league with Nice, obviously. That's a big ask, but why not? Let's dare to dream. And then obviously the big clubs go, oh, he's back, isn't he? And try and sign him. And Balotelli go, no, I'm staying.
Yeah. If you want an insight into Balotelli, there's a really good interview published in the Financial Times this week with Mino Raiola, his agent, the super agent, looks after Zlatan and one or two others. I think he looks after Pogba as well. He was basically quite unequivocal. He said, look, Mario Balotelli will not fulfil his potential until he puts football at the centre of his life.
Right.
And at the moment, he's not done that. And unless he chooses to do that, he won't ever fulfil his potential. It's a very interesting interview anyway. But he seems to be doing well at the moment.
He needs to be a cult hero.
Yes.
That suits him. Suits the type of player he is. Evidently suits the type of person he is. And he's getting that in these. It's great. Imagine if they won the league. Oh, it'd be brilliant. I just wonder with players like Balotelli. I was looking at some stuff written about Jerdan Shaqiri of Stoke City, of course. And I thought, a player like that, he's... phenomenal player, like such a raw talent and absolutely wonderful. They're more towards the maverick kind of player. And those type of players tend to, if you try and put them in a team with a system like a Bayern Munich or a Manchester City under, say, or any Pep Guardiola side, really, and other teams as well, where you have to work for your team. It's not just about you. It's about the team, you know, the sum of the parts and all that kind of stuff. Those types of players, if they don't adapt to it, they can almost sort of take it personally and go, no, I want to show off my skills, I want to do that. And actually, sometimes it's better for them to be a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
And that's where they really, really flourish. And that's why sometimes when they drop down to those, I say drop down, when they sort of slightly lower the team that they're playing in, they really flourish.
Yeah.
They really show their true colours. And then when they try and go back up into that bigger side, sometimes they feel a little bit stifled. And Eden Hazard, maybe under Mourinho, struggled with that a bit. But of course, he's come good because he is one of the world's best talents.
Well, regardless, I mean, Nice, they haven't won the French league since 1959. So if they can hold out, I mean, it's very early days, but if they can hold out, it'll be a huge achievement for them.
Yeah, indeed it would. Can I have a highlight of the week? Of course you can, mate.
Go ahead.
It was Coppers in Dublin, very, very famous bar in Dublin that we we went to after our live show there that stays open forever, as far as we can determine.
Every single Irish person and anybody who's been to Dublin of a night out knows that place.
Yeah. Yeah. Got a mention on Match of the Day too.
Did it?
Yeah, it was Kevin Kilbane talking about Cuco Martina. Yeah. It was a strange bit of defending against Chelsea, where he sort of almost did like a weird backwards moonwalk, and he said, yeah, I've not seen that since myself in Coppers or something like that.
That's lovely stuff.
Yeah, that's great.
Nice. Very nice.
Excellent stuff. Marvel.
A worthy highlight.
Yeah, very much so. Any more for any more?
My highlight is you being found guilty of being a Rangers fan by a particularly studious Celtic fan.
Rangers sympathiser, but in the past.
I wonder what the punishment will be. I wonder what the sentencing will be.
We'll see.
I'll decide the sentence, Jim. And I've got Oscar-free.
Yeah. I've won an Oscar.
It's all about the Gorgie boy. He's trying to take away the Gorgie boys from me there. That's naughty.
I don't think he's... Listen, I can't even remember his name. Aaron.
He's done a lot of research, and fair enough.
You've done a lot of research. You're not doing yourself any favours there, pal.
Yeah. No. You can move on.
Yeah.
It's over.
Well, and we've played Glasgow. Exactly. And we've already got the money. There's not much money. But there we are. Right, let's finish there. Brighton show Wednesday night. Get yourself down there. There's still a few tickets left, and of course Cardiff on Sunday night as well. Thank you very much for listening. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
That's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.